What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then Kerry Steinbach, who joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Steiny, we got a real race going on now, don't we?
I've been watching, Maxie. It's getting very, very interesting.
It is in a lot of ways. Let me start with the mechanics of what happened yesterday as a catcher. And I know the rules, some of them have changed and leaving a lane and all those things. But what happened on this play? What is Sanchez obligated to do? And what did Merrifield do as you saw it?
Well, the direction we have to go with this thing is you know, it's the Buster Posey rule. And, yep. You know, I know our fans know that and everything, but what Sanchez has to do is he has to keep both feet in fair territory. He can't cross that third baseline at all. And the reason for doing that is it opens up a lane for the runner has a straight shot to try to hit home plate. Now, I believe the rule is once you catch the ball with both feet in fair territory, then you can take the plate away. But after watching that replay yesterday, Sanchez had his left foot at least 8 to 10 inches across the line in foul territory, giving the runner not a clear lane to slide in. Now, he did a great job. That was a great old school catch, block the play, tag him. The runner never reached home. The throw was perfect. The umpire made the right call exactly from what he saw. But then we go back to New York, you know, where the umpires are, and the Major League Baseball Players Owners Association agreed on it, and the owners agreed on this rule. And so now we have to live by, which I think is a crappy rule, you know, and it kind of came to bite the Twins in the rear yesterday.
Well, it sounds like when they've seen this play played out before, and I can't cite specific examples, but they never see that this kind of a call overturned. Is there kind of a baseball rule to this that says, hey, ball beats you, you've got a place to slide, that's all you need, and you're out?
It came down to, Maxie, not even that the ball beat him. It's that if you look at where Sanchez's foot was when the runner's halfway to three-quarters of the way there, he's doing it how I was taught. You kind of straddle home plate, all right,
yep,
and make that runner either A, slide through you, B, run you over, or whatever. And Mike Socha, you know, from the Angels, or yep, the Dodgers, man, he made a career at, yep, 240 pounds waiting for people to try to knock him over.
Yep.
And he was known for blocking that plate. So I think the issue came is how soon his left foot was in foul territory. And the at least, yep, the replays that I've seen, his foot was in foul territory. Now it comes down to the umpires in New York having the courage to, I guess, uphold the rule that both parties agreed on. And it, again, it goes back to when Buster Posey got run over and broke his ankle in,
yeah,
three or four places. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if he catches the ball in fair territory ahead of the runner, then he could turn and put his foot into foul territory, you're saying, as long as he has the ball.
I believe that is my understanding.
So the question becomes, when did he catch the ball then, huh?
Yeah. Pardon?
And then the question becomes, when did he catch the ball in fair territory, huh?
Yeah, and it's even so that where were his feet as that throw was coming in? And it was a perfect throw. I mean, he could have stayed in fair territory, caught that ball, and still had plenty of time to make the tag. But, you know, being a catcher, when the adrenaline's coming, when puck's coming to run you over,
yep,
or Cal Ripken's rounding third, man, I mean, you know, the excitement's there, the adrenaline's there, everything happens, and you just want to catch the ball and tag that guy. And I know from all my catching coaches in the world, you know, number one rule, catch the ball first. And Sanchez did everything right, except he and the Twins got bitten by that rule. I think that was 2014 when that came, when that was implemented.
Oh, man. So you saw, did you teach catcher? Did you work with catchers on that at that time?
We did. Yeah. I had a take in 13. It was still the old rule,
yep,
you know, where you could, you know, block the plate and everything was fine. But then I think it was right around then that happened. So in 2014, first of all, we had to have the rule explained to us because you can interpret this thing a million different ways. And so we actually had umpires come into camp and say, hey, this is how we are interpreting the rule. This is how we're going to enforce the rule. And again, it all comes down to, and it's probably for the better, at least of the catcher's health. You know, I'm not sure it's better for the game, but when you can't make contact with that catcher, when you can't run that catcher over anymore, it's overall, it's probably a good rule, but it sure has changed the dynamics of the game. And again, yesterday, you know, it didn't look like anybody was getting hurt anywhere. You know, a good clean tag, you know, caught the ball, hung on, great throw. And unfortunately, that thing has to get overturned.
Yeah, and then the overturned part is, how convincing was the evidence? And we get that whole thing that we've all come to understand through the NFL. You know, not enough there to overturn it. You know, we all quarterback that thing from the sidelines when we see it. Do you think that Rocco Baldelli, as a manager, and you played for some great managers, do you think he processed that and said, okay, first I'm going to get thrown out of the game if they overturn this, but then in the post-game press conference, yes, I'm emotional, I'm charged, I'm not that far removed from the situation, but I'm also going to try to use it to the advantage of my team and send a message that I'm all in and I'm invested, and if I have to take a suspension or a fine, I will do that because I want everybody in the clubhouse to know that I'm all in on this. Did you read it that way?
I just read it that, I mean, kind of what I described a little bit earlier. I mean, all the things went right. The hitter hit the ball to left field. Left fielder fields the ball clean. Runner tags up. Left fielder makes a great throw. Catcher makes a great catch. They get the guy by 2 feet. You know what I mean? The ball's there. Yep. Two to three feet before the runner. I mean, everything you work on at spring training is right. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, and it's 10th inning, yep. You know, so it's ultra important. It's not like the first inning of the game.
Yeah, it's the 10th inning,
you know.
Yep.
Yeah, you're all jacked, and then all of a sudden to have this thing get overturned for logistics, you know. Yep. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow, and I think any manager probably would have acted like Rocco did, and I don't fault Rocco one bit on that. I mean, I know Rocco knows the rule. I mean, all the managers have been told the rule. All the catching coaches have been shown the rule. All the catchers have been shown, and it stinks, like I said, when everything goes right and you have, in my opinion, 8 to 10 inches of being in foul territory, go against you and has to overturn that play.
Is it healthy for a team, though, to see their manager once in a while get jacked up like that? You played for La Russa and Kelly, and you managed with Gardy, who seemed like got thrown out once a week, you know, back in the day. is that good to see one? Do you need that just in a clubhouse setting from time to time to shake it up?
Heck yeah. To me, it shows, I mean, I care how the game's going on. And for sure, I want my manager to care what's going on. I mean, I think we've had both Tony and Gardy get thrown out handing out the lineup card the following day because they were still angry or upset with the call that happened the night before. They walked up, you're still wrong, you're out of here. I mean, there hasn't even been a pitch thrown and our manager's fired already.
Terry Steinbach, our guest, when you were the bench coach for Gardy, did you, if you saw a play, did you know in your mind, hey, he's going to get tossed right now? Did it get to that point where you go, I better get the line, get somebody hand me the lineup card, give me my options because he ain't? Did you know immediately?
You kind of knew, and there's no secret that there's certain umpires that rub certain managers the wrong way. It probably would even be fair to say the certain umpires rub most managers.
Okay, yep, without naming names, yep.
Yep. I'm not naming names. We all know him. It's an Angel guy, I think. But anyway, you know. So yeah, when you have that crew, and we know which crew is coming in, you can almost guess at which particular game is it going to happen, because that particular umpire is going to have a conflict with a player, one of the coaches, first base coach, third base coach, or the manager. So yeah, you can kind of see it's going to happen.
When you were catching, did you ever have a situation where whoever your manager was is on the umpire and you don't think it's justified? In other words, he thinks, let's just say he doesn't think your pitcher's getting the corner, and you're a catcher and you're going, actually, he's missing on the corner, and you just can't see it from there. Do you ever correct a manager and say, well, you're not seeing that right?
100%. What we had to do specifically in Oakland, Tony playing at home, it'd be my left hand. If I touched, you know, the outside of my left shin guard, that was a sign to Tony that, hey, he missed that one.
Okay, you know? Really? It was that intricate, huh?
Yeah.
So go ahead and yell if you want, because he knows he missed it, huh?
Absolutely. You know, and that doesn't put me the bad guy. You know, the umpire, I'm not turning my head looking at Tony going, hey, you missed another one.
Yep.
You know, because then I'm going to get tossed too.
Yep.
But it was a way because, you know, we talked about this before, catchers catching, receiving balls, framing balls, you can make a pretty crappy pitch look pretty good.
Yep.
And so sometimes we have to be honest with the manager because those pitches are really balls. And I know you've interviewed a lot of pitchers, and every pitch a pitcher throws they think is a strike.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we have to tell them they're not always strikes.
I hate to tell you this. Now, when a pitcher, and I see this once in a while with Joe Ryan, and I see it with others as well, he's a young pitcher, when he gives that extra look once in a while at the umpire, you know, that glance, like, I can't believe you didn't call that a strike. That's always been seen, at least to me, in my conversations with you and others, is don't ever go there if you're a pitcher, if you can avoid it. Because as soon as you roll your eyes, we got a problem. Is that true? Is that body language that detailed?
It is, and there's two school of thoughts here, Maxie. Back in the day before the Fox checker, I think is what they call it, that strike zone that we all see, no one knew where the pitch really was.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could do that to the umpire, and I've had umpires tap me on the shoulder and say, get 18 inches outside because I hate this guy and I'm banging him, you know, and you would make the pitch and boom. He would ring him up for something that the hitter might have done. Well, the same thing is, if a pitcher starts what we call showing up the umpire, whether it's the eye roll, whether it's, hey, where was that kind of thing, we had umpires behind home plate that, all right, I'll show him where the strike zone is. And, I mean, you literally throw one right down the middle and it's a ball.
Yep.
But I think now in today's game, since probably the last 7, 8, 9 years, since they've had that checker system in place and the umpires get evaluated or they get ranked after every game.
It's a system now. Yep.
You can't make your point anymore. You can't be a veteran umpire. You're going to show this rookie pitcher, this is how the big leagues work. You really can't do that much because you're going to get scrutinized for, hey, you missed 27 pitches last night in the game. You know, what the hell's going on kind of thing.
Now, there are umpires that will tell you that the downside of that is it's a Thursday getaway day and you're playing an afternoon game. Both teams are on a flight and the score is 7-1 in the seventh inning. They can no longer move the game along the way both teams would like to see it moved along by extending a strike zone, etc. Even though they think, you know, both teams would welcome that because, you know, everybody knows the outcome and they want to get going. Do you see that at all? I mean, has that been lost in the game? And is that at all important?
Well, 100%, I think it's been lost. That has been lost. Your catcher's rapport with the umpire has been lost. Your pitcher's rapport with the umpire has been lost. I mean, real, real quick story here. Frank Thomas playing for Chicago. Ken Kaiser was up and behind home plate. Ken Kaiser used to do a nice charity that he got a lot of baseball players donate, you know, bats, balls, gloves, whatever, and he'd have an auction. He raised a lot of money for charity. So I'm catching. Frank walks up to the plate. He looks at Kaiser. Hey, thanks a lot for Kaiser goes to Frank. Thanks a lot for signing those two dozen balls for my charity. You know, and Frank, like, hey, no problem. Kai's anytime. Okay, boys, let's play ball. First pitch is middle, 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 and Kaiser goes ball. And I start laughing.
Oh,
I go,
God.
Hey, Kaiser, I know I'm not Frank Thomas, but I'd be happy to sign a bat for you. But come on, man, I got to have that pitch.
I'll throw in a helmet. Next. My that's, God, that's, I don't want to believe that stuff happens. You know, Jack Morris tells the story of pitching. He was a veteran when Wade Boggs came up. And he said the first two pitches he throws are right down the middle, and they're ball one, ball two. And he says, I just lose it. This guy hasn't earned his keep. You know, just because he's had a good start to his career doesn't mean he owns the strike zone. But he had this reputation early as, you know, Wade Boggs doesn't swing at balls. Well, that doesn't sit well with Jack Morris, you know. And I'm sure you saw things like that as well.
100% right. I mean, I had, you know, Puck get mad at me, you know, when I was catching for Oakland. Eck came in the game. Corner strike one, 6 inches off the plate. Strike two, 6 inches off the plate. That hit my glove. In the middle of the chest, strike three, and Puck turns around. Come on, man, I can't even hit that. He says, Puck, don't look at me, man.
I didn't create the strike zone, huh?
What he's calling. And usually, you know, obviously with Eck coming in the game as a closer, usually the winning team with the closer or the veteran staff or the veteran pitcher, they're going to get those calls.
Yeah, you assume he's going to own the strike zone, right?
Yeah. And I know TK saw it, Tony saw it. You know, it's great when it's in your favor. Man, it stinks when you're trying to come from behind.
Yep, for sure. Now, given that where this race is at, the Twins, Cleveland, and Chicago, I mentioned you know La Russa quite well. You played for him, and the White Sox probably have the most talented lineup when they're healthy. Who do you like going down the stretch? Because this is, almost a coin toss right now.
It is a coin toss, and it's going to come down to which team gets hot. And I'm not talking just hot with the bat. You know what I mean? That's a no-brainer. But which team catches a little fire? Which team gets a little spark? Maybe what Rocco did sparks the Twins. You know, that all of a sudden their pitching steps up a tweak or two. Their middle relief comes in. Their closer does. And all of a sudden they're getting that two-out hit. And it's going to come down to which team, and it might even come down to September, you know, that is going to get hot for that last 2 weeks, the first two weeks of September, maybe bridge themselves or get a little bit of gap, you know, between them and their competitors. But, you know, in the game of baseball, you're going to have your ups and downs. So, I mean, you really can't even start predicting, you know, right now. I mean, I think, Max, I was on a month and a half ago when we were talking about the Twins. I said, hey, the biggest thing you want to do is be in contention when September 1 rolls around. Because if you're in contention September 1, you know, two or three games up, two or three games down, whatever, you got a chance. But if you're that team that's 15 out, you got no chance.
Now, if the other day they let go of Tyler Duffy, you know, this is the downside, I know, of sports. I know everybody signs up for it, et cetera. But what's that? I always enjoyed Tyler Duffy, the conversations that I had with him. He seemed like, you know, an upfront kind of a guy. When you're a catcher, maybe, and especially because pitchers get changed so much, what's that like when a veteran, you walk in one day and he's released?
It's tough, you know, because when you're together with your team for 8 months, 2 months of spring training, 6 months season, it's more than just a professional relationship. You get your core group of guys that you're going to have dinner with. You get your core group of guys you might go have a beer with, you know, and you need that core group of guys to pick each other up, because the game of baseball, no one's good all the time. No one's bad all the time. You need that support. And all of a sudden when you see, you know, a veteran guy going out there struggling, I mean, I'm not going to say he didn't struggle a little bit, but I know he cared and I know he tried, you know, and that's the frustrating part, that, you know, a move has to be made and everybody probably knows it's coming, and it's never good. You know, we had when Bobby Welch got cut out of spring training 1 year, you know, he was one of these guys that I'm going to pitch till you rip the jersey off my back. And, you know, Dave Duncan had to call Welchie, and a Cy Young Award winner. You know, we knew it in spring training that numbers just weren't going to work. You know, we had some higher draft picks, yada, 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 yada. Yeah. They got to be there. And Dunk said it was the hardest thing you had to do is tell Welch, hey, you know, you're not going north with us. You're not making the team. Sorry. You know, here's the, time, 14, 15, 16-year veteran guy.
Yeah. Oh. That never gets you. Hey, Terry, great stuff as always. Appreciate it very much. I hope I see you. I don't know if I'm going to get out there next week or not, but the MVPs, the amateur baseball, Bill Nelson has assembled, yourself, Jim Eisenreich, Greg Odegaard, his son. It should be quite a night next week at Faribault.
We're looking forward to it. That's going to be a fun night.
For sure. Terry Steinbach, nice enough to join us.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.